Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Oli, Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hickson Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio talk show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks. I almost forgot who I was there for a second. No, I was just thinking. Pop Rocks Radio is the name of our show, and that's the reason we do it that way. This is the video side of this, although if you're listening on audio, you're like, what the hell's what are you talking about, Jamie? What are you talking about? No, I was just talking to our guest tonight. She's a returning guest, but she hasn't been on since we've been doing the videos. We were talking about, and she's got a new interest in video. We're going to get into all this kind of stuff. Not for YouTube necessarily, I don't think, but anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. The reason we still call it Pop Rocks Radio is because we had built a big following up with that. I was going to change it, and my lovely wife, Danny, who many of you guys know from my blog and stuff, was like, no, man, you just spent 10 years building that brand up. You can't just go changing it now. And so I'm like, okay. So this is the video side of Pop Rocks Radio. How about that? I am very happy tonight because we've got one of my favorite people in the entire wide world of entertainment. It's been a while since she's been on. A couple years, probably a few. She's a Canadian citizen, resident of our great friends and neighbors to the north. Yes, I'm saying that, folks. I love Canada. I know it's not a political show. I'm not getting into it. Jesus Christ. Anyway, you can't get a better donut or a cup of coffee than Tim Hortons. That's what I'm saying. Starbucks could learn a few things. I said it. Anyhow, our guest tonight, and I just found this out too. She's a double threat to all that's terrible in the world, because not only is she a kick-ass rocker from Canada, amazing performer, so much talent, she's also started a new side of her career, which is filmmaking now. So we've got film, we've got music, rock and roll. It's fantastic. Without further ado, everybody, this is Sid Carter West. I don't think you go by Sydney. Sid Carter West. Sid,
hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Jamie? How's it
I'm
going?
Doing good.
There
I'm doing good.
Sun?
I'm hanging in there. Now, you're in Vancouver, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Vancouver, British Columbia. People get it confused with Vancouver, Washington, but
no, way different. Way
BC.
Yeah. British Columbia, they got their shit together. I'm not saying Vancouver, Washington doesn't. That's exactly what he's saying, everybody. But you can definitely tell when you go over the bridge from Portland into Vancouver. It's like going, my hometown is Detroit. If you go over the bridge to Windsor, on the Detroit side, every time I say this stuff, I get emails. Everybody's like, Jamie, Detroit has changed. It's nice now. When I was there, it wasn't. You would see people on fire, cars on fire, definitely, screaming, gunshots, all kinds of stuff. And then you cross the bridge into Windsor, and you're like Snow White. A bird comes and lands on your finger.
Oh, my gosh.
Dogs playing in the park, children laughing. It's great. Way different than Detroit. Vancouver, Washington, and Portland are like that. Portland's still weird, but it's not as weird as Vancouver, BC. All the weirdos live in Vancouver. All the cool artists. It's an art town, I would say. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, in its own way, for sure. People do say it's like Hollywood North at this point. The amount of film productions that happen in Vancouver is quite insane now.
Absolutely.
We're competing pretty well with Toronto, Ontario and Montreal, Quebec, in regards to film productions happening here.
Quicker. If you're Hollywood-based, in the film world, an actor, whatever you're doing, and you got to go to Vancouver, you can fly home that weekend and see your wife, kiss your husband, kiss your wife, whatever. Mm-hmm. Toronto, it's a whole day of traveling.
Pretty much.
Switching planes, you're doing this and that. It's a pain in dealing with drunk Karens that they got to kick off the plane. Jesus Christ. What a world we live in right now. We were just talking about that. I don't get it. If you're going to be traveling, folks, here's my advice. Lay off the booze. Drink when you get to where you're going. How about that? Have a nap. You don't need, take a sleeping pill. Anything's better.
Bring a little healing comfort kit for yourself.
Exactly. Jeez, watch some TikToks. You got the world, the history of entertainment in your pocket. You should be able to find something to do for 2 hours. Besides, Jen, that's all I'm saying. Anyway. So film, this is very cool. I know you as a rocker. And there's nothing wrong with that. You started studying. And not just, hey, I'm going to be a filmmaker. She's not Quentin Tarantino. She actually is going to school for this shit and stuff. Taking it serious and learning her craft. Not saying Quentin didn't know that. He studied in his own way, from what I understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of filmmakers did in their own way. Film schools weren't a huge thing at that time. So it's becoming more and more of a bigger form of education. It is different now versus what it was.
Absolutely.
But yeah, with film, I got inspired to find a plan B because for a long time I was pursuing music. And
music's rough though. It's hard.
It's rough. And it's
especially making a living at it.
Mm-hmm. It's become more rough too with AI and social media. Like you used to be like a fish in a big pond, and now you're a tiny little fish in a massive ocean.
Right.
It's very, like, everyone now is trying to pursue being a singer-songwriter. And with that, it's harder to be financially stable as a musician. It always has been, but it's much, much more difficult. And for me, I don't know, I'm the type where I want to pursue an artistic career, but I also want to be comfortable with how I'm living.
Exactly.
And I just want some financial stability as anyone else does, right? I had to find, that plan B route. And it took me a minute to figure out where that would be. And then I realized the one thing I actually loved almost just as much as songwriting was creating the music videos.
Right.
So I thought, why not film? So I looked into a bunch of different schools in my hometown, Vancouver, to see opportunities that I can maybe go into and see what's what. And I found Capilano University. I was also told that it is one of the top film programs in Canada. So I'm lucky enough to be in the city that it's at. So I decided to apply.
Take advantage of that shit.
Absolutely.
Opportunity. I don't care what you're doing, kids out there. Film, music, painting, baking biscuits, it doesn't matter. Be able to recognize an opportunity when it's there, when it's in front of you, and be able to use that opportunity. You know what I mean? Take advantage of that opportunity.
Absolutely.
There's this myth. And I don't think it's just an American myth. I think it's just a myth in general. I can't remember it was classic Hollywood. I can't remember which the actress was. I'm thinking it wasn't Judy Garland. It was somebody different. But anyway, they were drinking a milkshake in a soda fountain shop. The producer was walking by on the side and he saw her through the window and he goes, there's my star. And swept her away to fame and fortune. That's how she got her break. And that's a very quaint myth. I don't know how much truth is into that or if it's just been repeated so much. And that, I see it with these competition shows like The Voice and all the Shortcut. Shortcuts never work out, folks. That's the whole thing. Everybody I know, no matter what they're doing, if they're successful at it, work their ass off.
Yep.
They work their ass off. Can't get around it.
It's a double-edged sword, especially with those talent shows, because let's say you do win it. What people don't realize is that a lot of those shows have contracts. So if you do win it, like in 10 years, half of your earnings have to go to them.
I tell you, I was approached, this was many years ago, a million years ago, when these shows like this started happening. Mm-hmm. And I used to know a lot of people on the television. But when I lived in Southern California, a lot of my clients were in that world. And so I, through knowing somebody, whatever, I got approached by these people that were trying to put a pilot together for one of these shows, but in the art world. And this is all, this will tell you how, what I'm going to tell you folks will tell you a lot of behind the scenes of this. I was approached because they needed a good villain. And they said, you would play perfectly. And I said, a villain? What do you mean? This is just a competition show. It's all about talent and skill set, right? And they're like, no, there's all, haven't you ever watched one of these shows? There's always a bad guy, always somebody to hate. And we think you would be good at this. And because you're very knowledgeable about the art world and blah, 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 blah. And you're very business focused, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, what's the check going to be? Speaking of business, I'm a whore, but I want the most silver for my soul. What's the going rate here? And they're like, blah, blah, blah. And it was a sizable chunk of money. But they said, okay, but some of the few things is during the show's filming, and they film basically for, it was like 9.5 months, I could not produce any art. I couldn't sell any on my own. My brand had to go on hiatus. There were all these stipulations. And
wow.
Because they didn't want me going out and getting, having my real big break during that. It would mess up their whole, what they had planned out for the show, what they had scripted for the show.
Exactly.
And so I passed on that deal. Sometimes that's hard to do, especially with a, when it's a chunk of change. But I passed on it. And, oh, and I had to relocate to L.A. I lived in San Diego, so it wasn't a big deal. But I didn't want to. I like to visit L.A. on the weekends. I didn't want to live there. One of those deals. But, yeah. And that's, I've known several people on these music companies, like these ones, The Voice or The Sound, whatever they call them. And they did pretty well on it. They moved up to the, they were on TV and all this kind of stuff. And one particular friend I'm thinking of right now, and she's great, very talented, but she's a manager at a bar and attends when the bartender gets sick and right. can't come in and has to deal with, hey, I think I recognize you. Weren't you on blah, blah, blah? And she's tending bar as people were asking her this. So it isn't always a fairy tale ending on that stuff. I would dare say the majority of time, that's how that kind of stuff goes. Music's Absolutely. Hard. Anything's hard, but music especially, because there's just not the, there's a big cash outlay
yep.
of equipment, time, energy, just getting the song. People don't know. Sid just doesn't go into her studio, knock out a song, and then suddenly there's a CD or a record of it. That isn't how that works. There's mastering and anytime you're in the studio, the meter's running and you're paying the people to be in the studio and yeah. it gets expensive. How do you pay for that? How do you sustain that? And especially yeah. if you're independent and you don't have, and really you don't want one of these record companies writing those checks because they're going to want that money back.
Yeah. You definitely sell your soul. There's no question.
Oh yeah. And in theory, yeah, I'm going to take this loan and I'm going to put X amount in escrow and what. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do. Things happen in life. And I have a friend of mine who owns a business, owns a restaurant. And man, he was leaving a 19-year-old in charge to count the money at the end of the night. And then a bunch of money came up missing. And no, folks, not 50 bucks, like close to $20,000 came up missing. And we were talking about it, me and another friend of the old gang that I used to hang out with growing up. And I said, what the, you don't put a 19-year-old kid, I don't care if it's a guy or a girl or where you fight, not counting my money. I wouldn't do that. Too hard for my money. But you can't be surprised.
That's so true. That's idiotic, man.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought, really? Now he's smartened up. Now he's like a prison warden. He's got cameras hidden all over the restaurant, and he's watching everybody. And
learned his lesson.
Yeah. This waiter spent this much time at that table. Why are they doing that? The bill was only blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now he's gone too far in the other direction. But anyway.
Paranoid. Extra paranoid.
He's smart. But it's cool that you're following your dream like that and having a plan B. I think that's brilliantly smart. And it's still creative.
Exactly. And I'm not necessarily giving up on music and write songs for movies now, which is where all the money goes anyway at this point with music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, of course, making music videos or working with artists and making their music videos. Like, so it's not like I'm getting to the point where I have to say goodbye to music. There's no ending there. It's just merging it into this other artistic avenue. And it's actually, it's become more of a passion for me than I thought it would. So music was my everything. And now it's not.
Yeah, it's just, and the other thing about music that's hard. See, people always say, they're like, Jim, why didn't you ever get into music? I have no musical talent. That's why. I hung out with a lot of musicians, but I don't have any. You don't want to hear me sing, folks. female frogs will come to the door. It's terrible. But it's the cheap art form. I got to get some canvas and some paint. I'm good to go. I don't have to worry about what I look like. I don't have to be rock star or actor good looking, because nobody cares what the artist looks like. They just care about the painting.
Yeah.
However, when you're trying to do acting, we need higher heels, Sid, and shorter skirt. That kind of bullshit you got to deal with. And
oh, to be fair, I don't want to act.
You're pursuing
more of like screenwriting and editing. So definitely behind the scenes, because I've had my fair share of the reality behind being in front of the camera for singing and songwriting. And honestly, the more I am behind the scenes in film, the more I don't want to be in front of the camera anymore. Yeah.
No, the only people who like being in front are these social media kids, influencers. They want to be famous and they want to, I'm like, yeah, move to Hollywood. Go be an actor. Make a lot more money if you do it right.
Be careful what you wish for, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird. I just was watching a video interview of, I don't know if you ever heard of that show. I'm an old man, so I'm allowed to watch this kind of stuff. It was a show about cowboys called Yellowstone that was real big.
Yeah.
Well, there's a gal on there that everybody loves. She's badass. Her name's Beth, and she's a pistol, man.
Yeah.
Don't mess with her. And that's a great character and whatnot. And I was watching this, and I did not know, and apparently nobody on set until season 3 knew, she's British. She's from the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Super thick accent. Didn't have a clue. I thought this gal was from Wyoming or someplace.
No, she was very convincing.
That's acting. Freaked me out. But now you don't have... People have accused, I don't know, West Coast? Is there a thick Canadian accent on the West Coast there? I don't think so.
No, not at all. We might as well sound American. I mean, there's a little bit of word choices that we use that are definitely Canadian. And maybe how we pronounce certain vowels. We still have that classic Canadian accent, but no.
But you've got a Hollywood voice. It's newscaster voice almost. It could play anywhere. But you meet somebody from like Minnesota or something like that, and you're like, Jesus Christ, or Boston. So many regional accents, and even in Canada too.
100%. You should hear the Newfoundland.
Yeah, I was just gonna say Newfoundland and out east there. Prince Edward Island. It's real thick.
And Alberta has some pretty hilarious. It's great. Yeah.
Absolutely. When I was a kid, I was a punk rocker and then a new waver, and I went through this phase. I was dating this gal, lived in Windsor, Canadian gal, And she got me into all these bands from Saskatchewan and Alberta. And it almost had a country twang to it. But the Northern Pikes and all these crazy bands, this old music. You weren't even alive yet. You weren't even alive yet, Sid.
I feel young. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just way too old. That's the problem. No, but it was really cool. But they had an accent, I remember. And I was like, oh, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that country Midwest twang to it, a certain loneliness aspect, which no matter what they were talking about, you just heard that. You heard wind whipping over fields of wheat and it was still cold. You know. Anyhow, well, this is cool. This is cool. I love catching up with you. You're fascinating. I do. No, folks, we have links below to all things, and there's a few of them. Sid Carter West, because we have all of her music links. And then all the film links as well. And it's all below, and there's probably something floating around your screen right now that we can't see, but there will be when this goes out. So be sure to check those out and follow. Sid is fascinating. She's got great social media. She's young. She knows how to do social media, you know, unlike me. Somebody asked for my WhatsApp the other day. I'm like, what the hell's a WhatsApp? Something more I have to do? Aren't I doing enough? I got an Instagram. I got rid of Threads. Somebody emailed me today. They're like, what happened to your Threads? Did you get into trouble over there? I said, no, they won't post it. The video never posts. And it's one less thing I have to do now. So you're out of there.
I have to say, though, I have a really tough time with algorithms still to this day, like Instagram and Facebook. And I barely use TikTok. I only use TikTok to watch funny videos, but that's pretty much it. But I'm still trying to figure out how that all works because it can be frustrating.
I don't know how any of this stuff works, really. I'll give you an example. Speaking of TikTok, I decided to make a TikTok account the other day. I was all ready. I said, man, I'm doing these videos now. I'm set up for it. Got a camera. Paid money for a camera. Let's do a TikTok video. And I got all ready. I said, let me get the expert in here. So I called my wife in. I said, I want to do it. And she said, Jamie, you have to have a phone to do TikTok. You don't have a phone. I said, you can't do it on the computer? And she goes, no, you can't.
You don't have a phone? Oh, my goodness.
The only reason I don't have a phone, not because I'm super cool, everybody, settle down. I'm old, and I set things down and in paint and in water. I forget where things are. A phone is $1,000, man. If you go buy, nobody realizes because everybody buys things on payments. But if I were to go in just to buy a phone outright, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Costs $10 to make and they sell it for $1,000 for me to lose or mess up. I don't need it. My wife's got a phone. If we're out somewhere, somebody needs to get a hold of me. I got a voicemail. They can leave me a message. They can even send me a text. When I get home and check the computer, I can see the text. It frustrates people to no end. They're like, I texted you like 5 hours ago. Yeah, I haven't been home. I didn't see it.
I don't know if I'm envious or just shocked, like that you don't have a phone. You're one of very few at this point, but I respect that.
It's a bill I don't have to pay, you know what I mean? And it's just...
It you would be engage in life more.
It was so interesting. We have a big backyard, a big patio out there that we set up, giant TV, and I just built a lounge thing for my television area. Me and my dog can sit on the lounge and watch music videos, watch Sid Carter West videos and stuff, which we're going to play here in a second. Three of them, maybe. And I was sitting out there, and I'm like, yeah, man, because I was curious to see. I said, I need something. It was something stupid for some construction thing. And because I want to do something, I want to build this bar thing. And I said, I wonder if they make that. I could probably make one, but I wonder if somebody else makes it. How expensive is it? Is it cheaper just to buy it? I said, I got to go back inside. I got to get up off the lounge thing. Me and the dog come inside, look it up and see. It'd be so, and I thought I was having this internal monologue. I said, it'd be so convenient if I just had a computer for out here that I could look at real quick to answer that. And then it's a phone, Jamie. It's a smartphone. That's would be, yeah, real convenient. That's why they make them. my own fault. Anyhow, I do. I listen to TikTok, weird TikTok videos, because when I go to bed, my wife comes to bed. She goes through them like you do with the TikToks, just watching weird shit and this and that. And she watches some weird shit, man. She gets on these kicks. The other night she was watching, first it was a farmer that was fixing cows' hooves. That was a couple weeks ago. Then it went to Russians washing rugs.
My gosh.
Yeah, she loves that kind of shit. There was an Asian gal selling pearls out of clams or something and having a slice of an auction. And so I'm going to sleep and I'm hearing all this. And it just creates the weirdest dreams in my head. Because I had the normal Jamie dreams, which are pretty weird, let me tell you. People are like, yeah, we see your art, Jamie. We see it. We know what kind of dreams you have. Hammers women up to no good. And suddenly there's a guy washing a rug in the background. It's, yeah, it happens. It's weird. Cows walking through the dream. It's all because of her TikTok.
Yeah, it's funny how what happens like around you while you're sleeping gets integrated into your dreams. That happens with me when I leave the TV on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now my big thing I've discovered is reels. And I was calling them short form video, and then my wife threatened to beat me up if I ever said the word short form video again. She said, "You sound old. You can't say that." But I love reels because some of them are really funny where the people do the little skits and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can send these to 47 people at one time.
Yep.
And so I've been doing that. And finally, one of my friends was like, "Jamie, what's a painting drawing? What's going on, man? You sent me 15 reels in the last five." I'm like, they're funny, though.
So, oh, yeah. It's a thing. I send my friends a bunch of humorous reels, and then they send it back to me. It's like how we communicate half the time. It's great.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Anyhow, now speaking, we were talking about your film interests and whatnot. Were you always... Now, I was thinking about this, and I believe this to be the case, but I could be wrong. Were you the one, the concept, not only the songwriter, song performer, song maker, were you also coming up with the concept for your music videos and stuff and
yes.
figuring out, really? You didn't have
yes,
a team
100%.
That came in and, wow.
Yeah, I always like to say that I was the creative director for my music videos. Every time I would write a song, it's actually interesting because I look back now and I guess there is like a inner filmmaker in me, because every time I was writing a song, I always had images popping in my head of how that would be visually in the moment, how the song would be visually. And yeah, just images pop in my head and it never stops. And now it's gotten so much worse because I've completely enabled this inner filmmaker in me, and now all I see is like movie scenes.
Let me ask you a question. I am this way. If I go to an art show or an art gallery, I walk around, I look at every painting, and I'm like the Terminator. I'm scanning that. I'm like, oh, okay, they did this to do that, and this mm-hmm. is how this worked. And it's a learning. I'm just taking it in a not the way you're supposed to take it, a painting. I'm looking at the technical aspects of it.
Yeah.
As much as I possibly can. And it's funny because my wife makes fun of me. She goes, "Oh God, we went to this art opening and you're just, everybody's, oh, there he goes." And he's just, you're like focused on this shit. Are you that way with music and now film as well? When you watch a movie, and I don't know what a Sid Whalen movie would be, but when you watch a movie, are you going, "I like that light shadow. Ooh, I like the pacing on this," and all those?
100%. 100%. So my go-to favorite genres are dark fantasy, anything otherworldly. But I also really love mystery, crime, suspense. And then mm-hmm. I'm also a huge fan of horror, more like psychological horror or like haunting.
I love it too. Yeah.
Supernatural horror is also my favorite. So for instance, I recently finished this show called Adolescence, and it recently came out on Netflix. It's a British show, and I was blown away because every episode was filmed with in one take. So it was continuous filming. Wow. So there was no editing like involved in regards to like cutting.
No cuts. And,
right. No cuts. It was all done in one take.
How did they do that? And, the logistic planning of that. Jesus.
And these Christ. Episodes are like an hour long. So it's amazing to me. And I was
almost
so impressed.
Like theater or something at that point. You know what I mean? It's almost, you would have to set it up like, I would think. I don't know. I'm not filming.
Well, it's interesting because there was behind the scenes footage that the DOP, the director of photography and cinematographer were showing. And basically one person would be holding a camera and they have this whole setup where it's attached to their chest. So it's easy for them to run or walk or just move with the camera without necessarily being overly like bumpy because they have a stabilizer on it.
Amazing.
So, to transition from, let's say, shooting just right in front of the actors, and let's say they want to do a movement where they end up in the air, doing like an over top shot of the whole location.
They
did that was they got a drone to hover over the camera person. So they lined up the same, like what the same visuals of what they were seeing on their camera, on the camera person. They lined it up the same with the drone, and then the drone just continued on for them.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it's genius. It's genius. So little things like that I noticed and I took note of, and even the actors and their ability to maintain that through the whole episode is phenomenal. The set designers to be able to like go in and out and take away stuff if they need to. It's amazing. I also finished watching recently The Brutalist, which won an Oscar. Adrian Brody for Best Actor. It won countless awards for Best Director, Best Film, Best Screenplay. And I noticed the editing style, some of the transitions between scenes. I know that effect that they used. It's on one of the editing programs that called DaVinci Resolve. And I noticed that they used one from that because I've used it myself and I know
nice.
The program.
So you're
really
picking
well.
These up.
So I'm picking these up and I was actually laughing to myself in the theater and people are like dead quiet and they're wondering why I'm laughing, but it's
right.
because I'm like, oh, I know exactly what they did there.
That's awesome.
So I definitely nerd out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How can you not? This is your passion, your life. That's who you are. That's fascinating. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff. I was watching a thing the other day about Kubrick and the making of 2001. And there was one scene where the spaceship is, the moon's rotating, the spaceships or the space station's spinning at a different rate, and the ship's coming up. And this was all like 1968 or 60, whatever that was, 66, something like that. And so they're shooting through glass. They're projecting something on a glass. So you have the, it was involved. And then they said, yeah, this 30 seconds took 16 days to film. And I'm like, geez,
crazy.
Please. But it's technology improves and whatnot. I did this weekend just watch, there's this author and painter, Simon Stalahag, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I did this a couple years ago, did this fantastic book called The Electric State. It's dystopian, depressing as hell. It is, yeah, you don't want that AI. It ain't a friendly, it ain't even a, the AI becomes so different than humanity in the book that it's disturbing. And at least with Skynet, you can understand its logic or any of the AI sci-fi movies. This, no, you could not. It was so total. It's like having a conversation with a lobster or something. It's just, or an octopus. It's just so different.
Wow.
And so Netflix, I guess they spent $300 million on it, decided to make a movie of it. And I watched it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like when Disney redid The Hunchback of Notre Dame for Victor Hugo fans. You can't put a happy ending on this story because there is no happy. And it's totally, and I don't want to give anything away. I don't want to give the ending away of either.
But, don't give it away.
No, it was all done CGI. And I'm not one of these people that bitch. If CGI is done well, I don't care. My I like that Pirates of the Caribbean movie with Davy Jones and stuff. That was a cool character, and he looked great. He looked fantastic, and you couldn't do that with models or when he's playing that organ with his tentacles and stuff. Man, that was cool. Yep. That was cool. So I'm not one to say, and the CGI looked great in this. It was great. The problem was, I think it was also written with CGI or Chat GTP or whatever. It was very fun. Yeah, you can tell. And it's crazy. I did not know this until I started doing the show on and getting into more and more into YouTube. The amount, the sheer number of, there's some black guy or some other British guy that knows so much about everything until somebody pointed out, Jamie, that's all a computer program. They just type the script in there. And I'm like, now it makes sense because that guy's on a million videos. And they're like, no, it's technology.
It's sad. That's where I think there should be a line drawn is when you start using it for like scripts, because it really does
completely change
the tone of a film. It's not authentic.
This had Chris Pratt and the gal from Stranger Things they were the main stars in it. So you had good actors, or I guess that's debatable or whatever, but I'm just saying, you have actors of note who've been written, people wrote them big checks to do their thing, so they should be pretty good at it, one would think, logically. But, but they can only work with what they're given. And you could tell there's no, I don't know, it just...
No matter how much production, CGI, or editing you decide to use on a film, it will never be good unless you have quality writing and a quality story.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings was great. Great books. They're great books. You're starting off with something. But this, we're talking extremes and whatnot. One of the thoughts I had when you were talking about how you... recognize things in film, you realize who you've become now.
I'm aware now. Yeah.
You ever watch those baking shows? My wife loves these. They're a competition show where they bake stuff. They bake cakes or Christmas cookies or whatever. And they'll have a panel of experts. They'll have three judges. They're all notable pinky out chefs that went to school in Paris and shit. And they'll try the piece of cake or the piece of pie or whatever it is. And they're like, oh, I'm getting... hints of blah, 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 and a little of this, and it's hitting. And I was watching those, and I've never had that experience. Eating any piece of cake, I'm like, man, these guys, that's just a bunch of BS. They can't be. And then I have a friend who's an actual baker, and she does that like I paint. And whenever anybody in our little local gang of our little friend group has a birthday or gets a job, whatever, she'll show up with a 7-layer cake, and it's got all this, and there's made out of stuff you've never heard of, and all this kind of stuff. And I take a bite of it, and I'm like, oh, at the end there, I can taste that cinnamon coming in, and then there's something, and blah, blah. And I'm like, I've turned into one of those judges. With film, you're one of those judges now. You're noticing all this stuff.
You do. Yeah. And that goes to say, like, for like good and bad films. Like, I've tried watching some indie films or even mainstream films, and I get offended if it's like really poorly written. I get really offended and turn it off. And I'm like, I just ruined like 30 minutes of my time. So that's great. It happens. Yeah, it happens.
There's...
Then when you see a good quality film, then you just get so inspired. And it's actually really cool because how I view films is completely different. Yeah. To like, how I used to watch them. And now I have a much greater appreciation. You mentioned that music, it's an expensive passion as well as it takes a lot of time.
Film ain't gonna be much cheaper.
Yeah, film is so much worse.
Yeah.
The process it takes to make a film is insane, and people don't realize it until they actually have gained some understanding or knowledge of what goes on behind the scenes. But it's pretty crazy, the stages that you have to go through.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't even want to get into that because I want to get political. But I was just reading a thing that George Clooney he responded to a statement that was made about him being in a Hollywood bubble. And by a certain somebody who's political. And he said, you ran a corporation with 11 employees. 11. You had 11 employees. And you had all this legal stuff that happened. He goes, I know you've never made a film because, number one, you're dealing with huge amounts of money. And he goes, when I do a film, when I'm directing or producing a film, I got 7 unions I got to make happy, given time, and let alone all the people making the film, doing the actual mechanics of it. And then there's money people and this person and that person. And, oh, we can't show this in the Asian market because of that. And there's all this stuff. He goes, it's a little more than managing 11 people and doing
100%. Yeah. And like more than half of the people that you're managing aren't necessarily working for you. They're basically contractors. So they have their own bosses or have their own people and their own perspectives and beliefs that tend to sometimes clash. It takes way more energy and a form of like communication than just trying to manage 11 people in a business.
Yeah, it's insane. And there's always stuff that my father used to teach me growing up. He self-employed his whole life, pretty much. But he, and very successful at what he did. And he was an inventor, an engineer, that type of person. Owned a bunch of factories and stuff like that. But he used to tell me, he goes, there's a technician seizure, that it was how he would call it. He goes, there's going to be some smart guy working at some place, and he sees the boss down the hall, doesn't see everything the boss is doing. He just knows the boss is down the hall. He's got a pretty secretary, nice car, big house. He goes, oh, I'm doing all the work. I could do this better than that guy. And he may be able to make that ganiptonop or whatever it is, but he doesn't know how to sell it. He doesn't know how to get the best deal on the supply to make it. I mean, there's so much more that person never sees, and he tries to go into business for himself and it fails because he doesn't know how to do any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happens. I remember working for my father one summer. Oh man, there was a pretty gal and we were going to a concert and I was going to take her and it was going to be great. And Friday came around. My stepmother was the one who went around the floor, handed the men their checks every Friday. That was how that happened at that shop. I did not get a check. I didn't squawk or anything. I was more respectful than that. But I did go see my friend. I said, there must have been a mistake. I didn't get a check. Need that money this weekend. The Damned are playing. I got a date with Christine. Come on. And he said, son, he goes, I'm sorry. But this is a lesson you're going to have to learn this weekend. Your last name's on the building here. It's been a slow week. Things didn't happen the way they were supposed to happen. He goes, the men out there, their names aren't on the building. They have to be paid before family here gets paid.
Right.
You'll get made up the week after, but this week, this is what's happening. And it sucked. And that is part of being self-employed. I will tell you right now, sometimes things happen. You can never tell. You can never tell. But music... Now, not only, because you were playing, last time we talked, you were playing out and stuff, too. You were performing and, not just recording, but you had the whole thing down, which I think you're probably still doing.
I haven't performed for 2 years now.
Really? How is that? Does that take a little of the sugar out of the cake? Are you okay with that? Just because you're so busy with other stuff?
Busy with other stuff, so I haven't even had time to really think about it. Gotcha. I will say, though, these last couple weeks, I have missed it. And I am considering just doing a couple of gigs just for me and just for being on stage again.
Get your fella or whatnot. Go out.
Yeah.
Do a karaoke night. Get it out of your system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And continue on that, your Reservoir Dogs project or whatever, your mask. Because I know you're still in school and still learning a lot of this stuff, but I know you well enough, said that, and I can just tell. I can make this bet. In your mind, there's a project. There's a movie that needs to be made.
Yep, a dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that way. And folks, if you're not in the creative world, it's hard for you to wrap your head around this. People out there watching this that are in the creative world, because it's how you are. It's what you think about before you go to bed. It's what you think about when you get up. And you got to be doing it. Sometimes that's easier said than done, granted, but I have paintings clawing to get out of my head. You think these women look bitchy in the canvas, man? They're way worse in here. Way more demanding. My wife says all the time, she goes, I don't worry about you having affairs. You're already having them in your head with your paintings. And I'm like, it's not my fault. I didn't ask for it.
They're just invading your head.
Yeah, they're there. About 15 years ago, I had a very scary situation happen. I was in the hospital for 3 months. But my first day in the hospital, the surgeon came to see me. He goes, we're going to try to fix that. But I can't. If we can't, I promise you at the very least, we're going to make you as comfortable as we can. And when you hear that, it changes things. You know, some people would have gotten religion or whatever. And believe me, I wasn't too far off from that. But my first thought was, I can't let this happen because I've got so many paintings to paint. So much more I wanted to say. So I got to get through this and get to work. And people ask me, they're like, how do you paint 200-300 paintings in a year? And I'm like, because I know that I might not have the chance at any point. None of it's, and that's every, but not for any condition or anything. It's just the condition of life. It's limited. Yep. And you got to get that stuff done. Any creative person will tell you that. That's why we're passionate about it. That's why we do so much. Otherwise, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones doesn't have to go on tour. He's got plenty of money. And he's probably got a harem of 25-year-olds in bikinis at any time he wants. Got anything he wants. But he's got to keep creating. He's got to keep doing his thing. He's addicted to it.
Yep.
I personally think that's why a lot of these rock stars and movie stars have problems with addiction, getting into situations, because they're trying to take a shortcut to feed that thing, that hole that we're all trying to fill with our art.
Yeah, it's suppressed energy.
Yeah, and it doesn't work. You got to just do your art, what you got to do.
That's exactly. Solution. It lets you release the energy in the healthiest way possible. And if you don't, then you're going to be more prone to addictions or unhealthy choices.
Anything. My wife, we were in the car today. We had to go get her snake, her snake's dinner. Got to do that once a week. And I had to go to the reptile store, get a rat for her snake. And so we were on the way there. And she goes, I wanted to ask you a personal question. And I said, what's going on? You never know. And she goes, you've been a little grouchy the last day. I noticed you didn't paint yesterday and you didn't paint today. I said, I did a little painting today, but not much. And she goes, everything going okay? Because I know when you're not painting something up. I'm like, no. I cleared an area of our backyard. I was out doing guy stuff. That sounds misogynistic. I was out doing homeowner stuff and cleared it because I want a water feature and I wanted to improve this area. That project took longer than I thought it would. So that's what I was doing yesterday and today. But I said, I'm back at it tomorrow. Don't worry. I said, do I need to make a bunch of money real quick? No, everything's fine. I said, okay, back to work tomorrow. That's what I'll be doing.
Just the daily check-in, right?
Yeah. That's a good partner. She knows exactly. Frankly, I'm amazed and I appreciate so much that somebody gives a shit enough to ask. It's nice to have that in your life.
It's a blessing in disguise. It really is.
Yeah, she wasn't nagging me or anything. But anyway, we've sitting here BSing and you're fascinating to talk to, but we've got to add some, we got to play some videos for these people so we see how talented you are. And folks, remember what we've just been saying. Not only does she write and perform these tracks we're going to be playing, she's probably been way involved in the filming of them as well, setting it up and getting the shot, baby, getting the shot. We've got, Sid, Sid, I am going to, we've got Woman of Regret. That just dropped like a couple days ago.
It did.
Lover Set Me Free. That's been out a month or two. And Good Old Devil. I've been playing Good Old Devil a lot in the promo up to the show. It's a fascinating video. It's very well done. All these are. Were these all shot with a fancy dancy camera? Because, man, they look so much better than what you normally, not from you, but from other people. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. To be fair, the most recent one, Woman of Regret, is probably one of the most professional looking videos I've ever put out. So I'm really proud of that one. But Good Old Devil is actually filmed on my cell phone.
Really? I got to get a cell phone. Jeez.
It's through an app that basically takes the camera from the iPhone, the newer ones collaborated with Canon. So it basically takes that camera and just makes it the best of the best. It's a really good app. It's called Black Magic. It's from like a camera company. It's nice. Really, really good. Yeah.
Should we play that? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start everybody out with that. Everybody, this is a phenomenal video. I really like it a lot. I dare say we're going to talk about it after we play it. Here it is, everybody. This is Sid Carter West. This is Good Old Devil. Here it is. back, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. I did not lie. That's a fantastic track. It looks cold, this video. Like, when you shot this, was it cold? Because you're walking around barefoot. I'm like, this poor girl, she needs a coat. What is going on? Is it, or is that just the Pacific?
No, world? it was cold out. It was it was in late fall. But the good thing is I don't really get cold that often. So I was totally fine up until going into the river for the underwater shots. Then I got cold because we're talking like glacial water.
Yeah, like salmon swam by you.
It's yeah. Crazy. Yeah, but I made it work and it was worth it. Yeah, it was funny because I actually at one point had to like hold a heavy rock in my lap just to stay underwater because moving water in rivers, it brings you up to the top like naturally. So you can't really go underneath. So I had to hold a heavy rock and have the camera like just not show that. It was entertaining.
That's amazing. Goes to show, folks. It goes to show. That's dedication. That's mm-hmm. dedication. I don't know if I'd be going into a freezing cold river. Probably not.
You got to do what you got to do.
I know. It's all for art. It's art. That's amazing. Now, it's been out a couple months now, and it is available. People can pick this up on their streaming or purchase this on the usual suspects. It's out everywhere.
It's out on YouTube only. So, I just decided to make it about the music videos. Same with Lover Set Me Free and nice. Woman of Regret. They are all part of an album that I wrote a while ago and never got to release. And due to low budget and just wanting to make it more about my filmmaking and visuals, I decided to release it just through music videos.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I think that's smart. I have always been a fan of music videos. I'm a child of the 80s.
Right?
I was there at the birth of MTV and was hooked on that. And then Much Music when we lived in Canada. And it was all these things. And I love the concept of music videos. Now, that being said, I'll watch a concert video every so often and think it's great. But yeah, I love all the weird. The weirder, the better for me. I'm a weirdo artist. Of course I'm getting all this weird stuff. But, and that was one of the things with the one we just played here, The Good Old Devil. Because you watch this visually, and you're like, oh, there's more to this story. There's stuff going on here. It could be this, it could be that. I like that ambiguity a little bit. I think it's engaging, and first time I watched this video, I thought about it for 2 days afterwards. You know what I mean? I was playing with all these questions about the video. And I think that's cool. I think that's good art, honestly.
Love that.
Yeah, it's cool. And you could even, like I said, you could put this stuff in movies. You could do all kinds of stuff with it. I went to an interactive show one time that was beamed in. And this is back in MySpace was still a thing. So this was back in the day. But there was a band. These two gals were from Sweden, and they put on a show. And I thought they would be there. No, they were like CCTV'd in, and it was all video, visual type stuff. Everybody paid $20 a head to get in there to watch that. And it was projected on spinning cubes and all this weird shit. And yeah, it was very cool. And I remember having this internal monologue, man, is this the future? Is this what we're going to be seeing, this type of stuff? But now I hear that story you were talking about, that show you were watching with the drone and everything. And I could be wrong on this stuff, folks. But it seems to me that immersiveness is probably the way the future is going to go. You know what I mean? Where you're in the adventure. You're in the movie.
Yep.
You're there. I look at things like the Sphere in Vegas. No, somebody wrote a check for that for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yep.
People are paying $1,000 to go see a show there for a reason. It's interesting.
That's the beauty of film, though, and immersive, like interactive music, even video games. People want to get out of reality sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some people just need a break from reality, so you want to dive into a different world and a different story, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Half the time I just want to be in fantasy land, I write it.
Yeah, you make it. I mentor some, I hate to say the word young all the time, because one of my student, I don't even want to say student, one of my friends that I mentor in the art business is, they're new at the art business. That's a good way to put that. But I tell them all, I said, you understand, in art, you have two options. This is the job. You either comment on the world with whatever you're doing, or you distract people from the world. That's it. It's one or the other. They're both equally important.
Yeah.
I said, personally, I have found distraction will probably pays a little better, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. But yeah. And I remember in 2016, we had an election here in the country, and me and the wife were sorely disappointed that following weekend, but we had to go to a birthday party. And this was a birthday party of people older than us, for the most part, that crowd. And not elder necessarily, but just 10 years older than me. And a lady that I didn't know, we were all hanging out at the party, nudged me and she goes, man, she goes, this week, your job just got tougher for the next 4 years. And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you say? What don't I know about? She goes, you're an artist. You have to do your thing so we can get through this. And I'm like, and that really stuck with me. I was like, holy shit, I have a responsibility as an artist. I really hadn't felt artistically responsible or on the world or anything like that before that moment. But yes, you're responsible now. You got to keep making this music and keep doing these films. And COVID really illustrated that too. We all ran out of shit to watch.
100%.
Yeah, so we're watching all these weird YouTube channels and shit. And
yep.
It's crazy.
People were live streaming too. Yeah, it was a whole other era, that's for sure. I feel like the magic, though, is, as you mentioned, there's people who comment on the world, and then there's people who distract. What I find magical, is there's some art that I have been distracted by, but it inspires me to think about reality and where it is. Like, it helps tie it in.
Absolutely.
That's
good example.
Where it gets,
that
really
is
magical.
The Star Trek. Anything Star Trek, that's what Star Trek does. You know what I mean? And I think we all take a little comfort in the way the world is right now that, the rebels defeated the Empire. So hopefully that'll carry over. But that's a comment on the world.
Yep.
It certainly is. It's crazy. And it's always changing, too, everything you got to do. In my game, I used to be able to just paint rich people doing stuff. That's easy enough to do. Everybody wants to be rich. They can relate to that. It doesn't sell as well now these days. You know what I mean?
It does not.
No. I leaned heavy into crime. Everybody loves crime. Everybody loves...
guilty.
I think what people love more than anything is comeuppance and justice. Mm-hmm. Even with an anti-hero, you watch Snap, you're like, yeah, I understood why she drove over that guy. I get it. He had it coming. That whole thing from Chicago, he had it coming. People relate to that. They like that. It's crazy. Let's play another video. Let's do, we've got Lover Set Me Free. Oh, wow. There's got to be a story there. And Woman of Regret. There, oh. Sid. What should we play, and then we'll talk about it? Because I have.
Let's do Lover Set Me Free, because that's chapter two. So let's do it.
Here we go. Folks, here it is. Sid Carter West, Lover Set Me Free, available on YouTube. Thank you. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Amazing, amazing. It's like we did. I was so transfixed watching that. I didn't even move. My head, when we came back, was in the exact same position. It's zany. That just shows you right there. Lover set me free. Now, Sid, we've all been in relationships. We've all had that thought in the shower. I got to get the hell out of here. I got to get free. How did I even get into this situation in the first place? I think maybe women probably have that more so than men because they're just usually a little more on the ball. Men are very simple when it comes to things. Was this just an observation of the world, something out of your noggin there, or was this inspired?
This was definitely inspired. Like I said, these three songs are the first chapters.
It could have been Lover Set Me Free in a good way. I just automatically went to the bad way.
Oh, no, it is. Like, not bad. Like, bad in the sense that it's heartbreaking, but good in the sense that there's growth from it and there's lessons to be learned from it. So it's like the yin and yang effect, I'd like to say.
You didn't run anybody over in the video in a car, so that's a good thing.
No, it's, yeah, for me, these three songs and the future ones that are going to be coming out are stages of grief, stages of the aftermath of a not very healthy relationship. And Lover Set Me Free. Yeah, and Lover Set Me Free is that stage of being haunted by the memories of the person that you're no longer with and needing to let them go for your own mental health and well-being. And breaking free from those chains that are no longer needing to be yours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Was this the first big heartbreak? The first time you had ridden that particular roller coaster? Or had you been through on that ride before?
This one's hard. This one, I wouldn't say was my first. It was my most damaging.
Most intense.
So... yeah. It was definitely my first experience of an abusive relationship, like emotionally abusive. But it was also the first relationship where there was a huge shift. It triggered a huge shift in me. Like I'm definitely learning as the years go by to be more grateful of the heartbreak rather than resentful. There's some days where I still am hurt by what happened and the events that played out, but I'm really trying to incorporate more gratitude than anything else, because if I didn't go through all of the heartbreak and horrible things that I went through, I definitely would not be where I'm at right now, and I would not be making the changes that I'm doing right now. Well-being.
And that's the healthy way to look at it, man. You have to. I had a good friend of mine. He was a, he is, I don't know, yeah, he still does that. What they call a hired gun. Sid knows what a hired gun is, folks. He's a bass player. And what that means is when you're in a band and you decide to go on tour and the bass player has kids or a job or he can't make the tour. So they hire a hired gun, comes in, goes on tour, learns the songs, goes on tour with you.
Yeah.
And he had just finished up. They'd come through town. The band stayed over here and we're that type of house. But we were talking more than we had before, just because I'm busy, he's busy, whatnot. Pretty good friend of mine. And he called me up and he's, it's finally happening. She's leaving. She's got somebody else, apparently has for a while. And this is happening. So I said, sometimes, he goes, I'm pretty busted up. I said, don't do anything crazy. Sometimes a change of scenery is all you need. A week, a vacation. I said, at our house, we live 10 minutes from the beach. I've got a bottle of tequila. I'm your friend. Let's go down and sit on the beach if we need to do that. If that's needed, that's what we'll do. So he flew down and we hung out and he was busted up. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, dude, you're a country singer. You're a country music. Are you kidding me? You're going to use this as rocket fuel, make 3 albums out of that. This is what
you're exactly.
You got to get to work. That's channel this, man. Shit, you're acting. You could be the next whoever. I'm just saying it's, I get you're so lonesome you could die. We get it. We know. Now let's hear about it. And that's what he did and did okay with it. Bought a new car after that. But pardon me, folks. I know I didn't use my cough button. I'm supposed to. But you can revel. You can sit down and get drunk, revel in it. Or you can work. You use it. Do what you're going to do. But Sid, obviously, has been using it. And look at the results. It's pretty awesome. Let me ask you this. Here's my follow-up question. And if any of my questions ever said too personal or too close, just say, Jamie, next question. Nobody's offended.
You got it.
Does this person know about these tracks and these videos? Are they aware that they are the subject of what an effect that situation had on you?
I have no idea. I don't know really? If they check in or not. No. Because I don't really care.
Gotcha. That's the way to be. I mean, that's the best way to be. Fly so high over their radar, you have no idea. You know what I mean? Just
honestly, it's like releasing these songs is more for closure for me because I never got the closure that I wanted. So this is my form of it. And it's very therapeutic. And I'm not here to try to make sure that this person sees it.
Or feels this or that or any of
no,
that.
No, I just want I want closure for me and for myself. And it's my process of healing. It's my process of finding myself again and recentering. So that's all that matters at the end of the day for me. If that did that for me, yeah. Then good.
And things tend to wind up how they wind up. All things move towards their end. And pardon me, I need some more water. Excuse me, folks. Excuse me. But yeah, when I think about past heartbreaks, and it's been a long time since that first intense one. Dan, I'm so glad where I'm at now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Right?
Because I'm in a way better place than I was then, you know?
Yep. And it's a part of evolution. It's a part of your journey of evolving.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And it's weird how fast. Here's another thing that'll happen, folks, is time goes by very fast the older you get. And before you know it, in an eye blink, decades past, and it's holy moly.
Starting to notice that, and it's scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very true. So true. Let's play the chapter 3, shall we? Now, this is Woman of Regret. Woman of Regret, said Carter West. We're going to play it right now, folks. Here it is. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and we're back. Woman of Regret. Tell us a little behind the scenes or a little about this particular video.
Yeah, this one was super special for me because I had a much bigger crew behind this one, all of whom I know from film school. And I'm really grateful to have them all on board to be a part of it. One of my really good friends, Aaron Close, he is the DOP, director of photography for it. I basically told him my vision, told him what the storyline's about, and he helped me create it on a visual scale and brought in the camera gear, brought in the lighting,
nice.
Planned that all out. We got our crew to do the lighting jobs, the second camera job, and the set designer, Ashney Andrews, who's another good friend of mine. So I'm really grateful that I had very talented and creative people be a part of this project. Chapter 3 is basically the anger, wanting revenge phase of the aftermath.
It happens.
It's a part of it. And this is my way of expressing it. And because I like to consider myself a part-time witch on the side, I definitely show that in this video. And it was just so much fun. And to clarify about what's going on, there's the altar that you see with the campfire in front of it. And it's basically the altar to the woman of regret or the goddess of regret, who basically takes the brokenhearted people and takes their vessel and uses it to get revenge on the person who inflicted the heartbreak. So I'm at the altar giving my vessel, myself, to the woman of regret, so I can get the revenge and justice I deserve from the person who broke my heart.
There you go. A tale as old as time, you know. There you go. See, fellas, you gotta watch. Pissing these gals off is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
It's interesting, these songs. I don't even call them songs anymore. I call them chapters. It's so funny.
Yeah.
The filmmaker's coming out.
That's a cool concept, though, because first off, a couple thoughts. One of the things I tell people, and people ask me all the time, they're like, you know, should I go to art school? And I'm like, art school will teach you how to paint. You will learn the basics of your craft. You will learn how to do things. Absolutely. One of the great things about school of any kind, not just art school, is you will network, you will make friends.
Yep.
And I remember in my life, the first time I ever had to ship a large painting, crate a painting, and just like you've seen in movies and stuff, we built a big box out of wood and stuff, and a truck came and picked it up, and it flew to Germany. It was not cheap to
bed.
And had to be insured, especially. All these things that nobody in art school had told me, but one of the successful people I went to school with does that on a daily basis. Maybe not daily, weekly, monthly, whatever. But they're at that level where they're having to. And so I called them up and said, I don't know what do we do with this? How do you do this? How does this work? Yeah, and he gladly told me and everything. But I wouldn't have had that contact if I hadn't have met him in art school.
Exactly.
You know? So you never know, and you can find, there's not just that kind of stuff, but maybe find work or whatever. Knowing the bigger your circle of influence, the if you're fishing, the more lines you have in the water, the greater chance you're going to catch a fish. And that's one of the great things about school of any kind.
Especially for film. It's all about who you know.
When I think about the concept of musicians, because I say this lovingly to one of my musician friends, I rip musicians off because anytime I can take what somebody's doing and apply it to what I'm doing to get similar results. And I'll tell you guys, at any of my shows, there's a merch table. And the reason there is my musician friends do that. And I see them selling, making money with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, I could sell t-shirts with the painting on them or what. Probably easier to sell a $20 t-shirt or $30 t-shirt than it is a $1,000 painting or something. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of, and so we started a merch line. And that's why we did that. And the other thing is that merch, in our particular case, I paint the painting, I sell it, I've made, that painting's job has been complete.
Yeah.
If I put that on merch, that's an income stream that's always happening.
Continues.
That I don't have to do anything about. It just, and it's great. But the concept of an album is like an art show. You don't want to just have an art show and just have a bunch of paintings in the art show that are here or there. But no, you need a theme. You want to, use that opportunity to tell a bigger story than you are with just an individual painting. And I think albums a lot of times are like that as well. And I think you just might have evolved the concept of a video album because it's chapters. And I think that's a pretty, that's an exciting idea to me. I think that's very cool.
Realized with through film that the songs of an album are the chapters of the entire story.
Yeah.
If you think of it logically. And what I do love about music videos is it just enhances the meaning behind a song. I know that when I watch a music video versus just listening to it on Spotify, it's a different experience. It's a deeper experience.
Yeah, you're painting with more brushes. The canvas is so much bigger. And frankly, I could be wrong on this, but I don't have anything on Spotify. We do. We have the audio show on Spotify and this and that. Spotify doesn't pay podcasters. Any podcast you're listening to on Spotify, unless it's Joe Rogan or somebody of that level, you're not getting any, you're not making any money on Spotify. Same thing on YouTube. You have to have X. There's prerequisites and whatnot that are, but not all streaming's that way. Pandora, it depends on what you're dealing with. But
you're not even making a lot of money as a musician on Spotify, too, just to be
right.
Fair.
Yeah, they don't pay nothing. Any other business, they would be brought up on charges. It is that. I don't want to let the secret out, folks. Everybody has Google, but if you really want to be depressed on what your favorite artist isn't making, Google that shit because you'll be.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but I think YouTube's. I think YouTube pays out better than Spotify does.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
You could monetize it, but you could also tie in merch. There's all kinds of. I like that concept of an album done visually. I think musicians used to do it. Was a little simple trick. You'd have and they'd sometimes do this with, because back in the day they'd make albums and they'd have a track which they would call a filler track.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird song or whatever, but it's not single material, and they knew that. And they'd put it there on the album. And then if they needed another, we'll call this one such and such part two. They would always throw the part two. Because if you're listening to part one, you're going to listen to part two just to continue the story. And you used to see that a lot in the 80s. Every 80s band has a part two song somewhere.
I noticed that when I listened to classic rock.
Yeah, it happens. It's Genesis, a lot of those people. Anyways, especially the prog rockers. And then you get real pretentious and do part three, which is just the instrumental of the track. And then you're like, come on, guys. Come on.
Really funny. Yeah.
But it happened. But I think you've even tapped in even stronger to that, though, with the idea of the chapter. That's gold there. That's $1 million idea. That could be very... Well, I'll tell you, the only other time I've ever seen that done was there was a German guy... I can't remember when he passed away, 2001 or something, but he was a German performer named Falco. He did the Rock Me Amadeus song. That was his first big hit. His second big hit, which nobody in North America knew much about it, was called a song called Jenny. And he's a serial killer in the song, and it's all about his love for this gal, and he does her in and all this and that. And he had I think it was 4 or 5 follow-up hits because they were all sequels to the story and everybody wanted to hear. He went to an insane asylum and then he got out and one of the songs was on Coming Home and he was doing okay. And then he saw something, a woman stalking or something. Yeah, it set him off again. And then the turmoil was back. And
that sounds so fun.
But I'm saying, your stuff's different because the only relatability to Falco's Jenny stuff is if you're a psycho, your relatability on your art is women, not just women, anybody who's gone through a breakup and trying to figure that shit out. That's amazing. I think it's Sid, if you were a horse, I'd bet on you. That's all I'm saying. That's a brilliant idea though. There's a lot of potential there. And it's cool because I don't want to say it too loud. My wife will get upset. music videos are short form video. And so it's easily digestible. You don't have to sit there for 4 hours with each chapter. Pretty good beat on it as you go along. Music videos ain't cheap to make.
Nope.
So you're looking, how many chapters is this thing going to have, do you think? 8?
10.
10? 10. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you crowdfunding it? How, you got personal
investment? $0 budget. It's on my, it's on my own, it's on my own dollar. So like any extra stuff I was paying out of my own pocket.
So you're not selling nose pictures on OnlyFans or anything to pay for those.
No, it's a passion project. It's nice. Yeah, no, all of that's why I'm grateful for my friends who are just doing it for credits.
That's
no
awesome.
Money, just credits awesome. For portfolio gain. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
It turns out really well. So the fact that we can make that with not a lot of money, the idea of having money for our next one is pretty exciting. I already applied for some grants, so fingers crossed.
Well, I know Canada's pretty good about that. I had some musician friends who lived in Toronto, and it was a husband-wife team, and her mom lived in Vancouver. And so they'd like to go visit once a year, and they had some grant they got, some deal with the government. They took the train from Toronto to Vancouver, but they had to stop at so many stops and play in the train station for an hour or something, and then
wow,
and they got free tickets doing that. It was some kind of program. We don't do have anything like that in the U.S. because that would be smart and cool and fun and help somebody. Yeah, you can't have that, but Canada's cool like that. Canada does cool stuff like that.
Yeah, it's so important supporting emerging artists, because all these award-winning artists started as emerging artists. So you don't know if you'll end up supporting the next icon. You don't know.
Absolutely.
You've got to give people a chance.
Well, I think it's very cool, Sid, that you're combining two of my favorite things, music and film. That's, and you're doing it in a unique, new way. That's exciting to me. When you're my age, you crave the new.
I crave the new.
Yeah, I gotta have it. I have friends that are even older than me, and they just want this nostalgia. It reminds me of blah. I'm like, been there, done it, man. I want the new stuff. That's what I want to see. But maybe I think there's more people like with that attitude than just me.
Or recreating the old in a different way is
in
also
a new way.
An option.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I love.
Oh, yeah.
Taking fragments from the old and making it even better.
Well, your whole musical style even is, and I've seen that in some of your bios and interviews and whatnot, where it's 70s rock, and you've got that set of pipes on you, which is very powerful. You know what I mean? You can sing. You're real good at what you do.
Thank you.
But I think that's cool, because not a lot of, because frankly, everybody, I think that's not every, I shouldn't generalize, but there's a lot out there that do go, I want to be famous like Taylor Swift, and I'm going to make a Taylor Swift song so it'll be on the Spotify algorithm, and I want to hear my song at the mall. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, but don't base your art on somebody else's and you think that'll springboard you into success. You can do your own thing with it. And believe me, it was years, everybody was like, oh, Jamie's trying to be the new Andy Warhol. And then, and that's, I'm like, I'm not screen printing. I'm doing the opposite of what I'm actually painting this shit to make it look like a screen print, granted, but it's the opposite. But I'm saying, you see a lot of newer musicians, trying to take that easy route. And yeah, your stuff doesn't sound dated. It doesn't sound, I can see the nod. I can see a nod to it. Hey, this is back when. And I could be totally wrong on this. There ain't no auto-tune happening on a Syd Carter-West song. She's doing this shit. You know what I mean?
There's no auto-tune. No.
Yeah. You don't have time for that. It's,
no.
It's so true. It's so sad. People ask me, too. They're like, do you use computers for your work? No, I'm not that smart. I wouldn't. This is a very true story. I had a friend of mine that wanted to run an ad. She owned a magazine, and she goes, Jamie, for my birthday, she goes, I'm going to give you a quarter page in the next issue of the magazine. So get your ad ready, and it needs to be so many DPI and blah, 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 and this resolution and for printing.
Right.
I had no idea what she was talking. Didn't have a clue. And I didn't know what to do, so I'm not that smart. People think I am, but I'm really not. I just painted the ad on a canvas, and I took it down to her office, and I said, here's the ad. She goes, what is this, Jamie? I need the computer, the photo for the magazine. And I said, I didn't know what any of that meant that you told me, so I just painted the ad on the canvas here.
Oh, my gosh.
And she goes, don't worry about it. We've got photographers. They'll take a picture of this. And yeah.
That's so endearing, though. That's awesome.
Yeah. I guess it's charming. I was very grateful that she was doing it, but I thought I was letting her down because I didn't know what she was talking about. These days, I know all about that kind of shit. But back in the day, no.
To paint an ad than to photograph it. So props to you.
Painting's easy, man. Painting. The bitch is coming up with the idea. That's the hard part of painting. And I rip off. There are so many times. I'll be listening. I'm telling you, look for it. Look for it in the next month because I've been listening to all this Sid Carter West stuff. I'll hear a song lyric and I'm like, that's a painting right there. That's a painting idea. And you can never tell when it's going to happen, but it'll hit you. A song lyric or something in a video or something.
That's amazing.
It is so sad. Me and my wife, people come over to our house. Here's a big secret. I might lose my friendship with Sid. I don't know. But I happen to be a big Duran fan. I like the band Duran. They have weird ass videos in the 80s. They're old videos. They're new ones. But anyway, so it'll be on the TV if we're having people over the house or something usually. And my wife and some of our friends have made a game of this. Not necessarily a drinking game, because we're a little older than that. But it would have been a drinking game if we were all 10 years younger. And but they'll be watching a video, a Duran Duran video or some crazy video that's on. And they're like, in the scenes in the video, they're like, oh, there's a Jamie painting. Oh, look at that. She's checking her makeup in the car mirror. That's a Jamie. She's reaching for a gun. That's a Jamie painting. And they just, and I'm like, really, it's that predictable? And then little Nelly, the baker, will go, he's got to throw some circles in there to make it weird.
That's so good.
That's another good point, folks. If you, no matter what you're doing and you're artistic, surround yourself with people that are digging what you're doing because that encouragement will get you out of bed some mornings. It's very true. And on that note, if you like, you find somebody that you like, an indie filmmaker, a cool musician, whatever. You can share. There's links. All this stuff. You can share. Write a comment. You don't have to put a doctoral thesis on a YouTube video. Write a comment. That's cool. I dig that. Or whatever, you know. All that stuff. It's called engagement. It helps the algorithms that run all this shit see us and recognize it and put it out there to other people. And plus, your friends see it. The reason you're friends with people is you got common interests with them. If you think something's cool, your friends are going to think it's cool too. That's why you're friends. A last note, Sydney, before we wrap things up, I am a huge fan of your nail varnish tonight. That is fantastic. I will be stealing that color, not for myself, but for one of these paintings. No, it's just a cool color. That'd be a cool contrast, yeah, like a blue or like a dark blue or something.
Right? It's an interesting kind of nude. Yeah.
Are you my wife said she can watch. She'll watch her true crime shows that she watches or whatever. True crime or ghosts. That's her big thing.
Yeah.
And sit there and do her nails for 3 or 4. And she's got all kinds of shit. She's got things she puts her hands in and the ultraviolet light and I don't know what she's doing, but she loves doing that. It keeps her entertained for hours.
But I love multitasking.
Or do you go, do you do it yourself? Do you go get them done? Do you, or both?
Oh, I go get these done. I can't do nails, but there's plenty of other things that I do while I watch my crime shows. Yeah, I love to multitask. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. I think, man, I'm glad we had this conversation because I'm so inspired, so excited for what you're doing, for your art, that it's just really that chapters and videos, like, that's a brilliant idea. That is a brilliant idea.
Thank you. I plan on continuing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's somebody out there watching this. That's going to kick off their brilliant idea. And I can't wait to see that as well.
That's the magic too, right? Is if I get to inspire other artists to do more art, that's amazing. Yay. Life goals right there.
You're a cool chick. You're a cool lady. There's people out there, and it's not just girls, I'm sure, but anybody, you know, that sees you, that wants to be doing what you're doing. That's exciting. That's very cool. Keep doing it. You're real good at it. Seriously.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Folks, I kept said way longer than I was supposed to, by an hour, because we're bullshitting and stuff, but I pay the big bucks on YouTube so I can have long videos.
There you go, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me, though. It was really
Yeah, and let's not spend years and years again, because I just really enjoy talking to you. It's get those creative juices going, man, those gears turning, and that's a good thing.
It's important.
I'm telling you. I will talk to you soon. And folks, you'll be seeing this when it drops. So yeah, we'll see you next time. Thanks for watching or listening. We'll see you. See you later, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hanna Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.